much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed your meat. It was very good. I really am glad you're all here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. And of course, around Christmas time, I always play my Christmas albums called Santa's Got a GTO. And Ryder on that album as well. And so this Christmas coming up, it's going to come out on vinyl.
Oh.
Santa's Got a GTO Christmas album. It'll be out on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming out probably around this Christmas coming up.
Okay.
Anyway, I got more music, things to play coming up right after the Monkees. Here they are.
And now.
I think this is a marvelous idea.
You do?
This is America. No one can tell you you're crazy.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, good morning, party people, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, it's a Wednesday, and it's the 5th of December. What's up, you guys?
What's up, Bean?
Oh, hi.
How was the frame today?
Just a little light drizzle on my way in. How about you, Jensen?
Well, it's the most annoying type of rain because it's like non-committal.
Yeah.
It's the 26-year-old male type of rain.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, it's kind of doing it, but it's not fully into it.
Right. If you don't really need the wipers on, then you don't have them on. You're like, well, I kind of need them.
And then it's like, it hits the dry, you know. Ugh.
So rain or don't rain is what you're saying.
Yeah. Pick a side.
What's the new term? It's a couple of years now, but I've forgotten the term. It's not ghosting anymore. It's where the guy dips back into your text just often enough to make you think that you still sort of have a relationship with him, but not enough to actually get together with.
That's everyone in my life.
I don't think it has a name, does it? No, it does. It does. It does have a name for it. Yeah,
I know there was benching, but that's not it.
What's benching?
Breadcrumbing?
Oh, that does make sense.
Maybe it's breadcrumbing. That could
if
be
it isn't, it should be.
It's very creative.
That's very good. That's better than whatever they came up with,
Chip.
Because they check in. Like, they check
Chip
in.
Chip sounds like someone with experience.
Maybe.
They check in with just like a hello, hey, how's it going? Like it's
and
like
it's right when you're done, when you have just in your head said, that's it, I am finished with this person. Hey, what's going on? Oh, no.
Then you think they're back.
Yeah.
Speaking of texting, let me just say for folks who are wondering where the monkey is, we got to bubble wrap this kid, right? He wasn't feeling well. I don't think I'm divulging anything that's a secret here. He wasn't feeling well, so he went to the doctor, and somehow there was a mix-up in Kevin's brain, and he ended up taking the wrong medicine, okay? Which, I mean, I guess could happen if you're just swallowing whatever, you know, pills that are in the bottle that you have near you without reading the labels. I guess that could happen.
There was a story recently about some kindergartners who drank pine salt instead of apple juice. So he's just like them. Kindergartner.
That would actually make more sense because I think they look alike and they were handed it.
Oh.
I think Kevin actively had to take this pill and go, this seems right.
Well, we used to joke all the time that if you ever wanted a fun time, mail Kevin any drugs and he would take it. Just put it in an envelope with no label, with no note, just send it to him and he'd take it because he's just like, a pill, I'll take it.
That's chill.
So anyway, he took the wrong medicine. I guess his throat all swelled up. He had a big allergic reaction to whatever he was supposed to be taking. And the note we got from him said that he was on a Benadryl IV. Now that sounds more serious than just, I don't feel good, I'm going to lay down.
Yeah, I wrote like, hope you feel better, and huge exclamation points. I thought it was pretty serious, but then he wrote back and was like, who wants to do this segment tomorrow? I was like, aren't you on an IV?
Yeah.
A Benadryl IV. Who has an IV at home?
R.I.P. Carlos.
R.I.P. Carlos, right. And my favorite part was, so needles to say, I'm not coming in tomorrow, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did get the incorrect spelling.
Yeah.
You thought he meant it?
I thought he meant it.
No!
Oh,
you got to get to know Kevin.
Come on, Jensen. We're only a day away from hashtag fig life. I mean, come on. You got to read between the lines with Kevin.
I don't know. If somebody has an IV in their arm and they say needles to say, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, A, he hates puns, so he never would.
Right.
And B, we've got to show you some of Kevin's best of emails. Good God.
I mean, Radeon Durf, you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of texting, I had something else planned here. I wanted to talk about that superhero kid in Colorado who got the snowball ban overturned in his town. We're all very proud of him out there. But instead, I need to do this. What's the protocol on? I tend to try to put everybody in my phone book on my phone. If somebody texts me and it's somebody that I know and that I may ever have an occasion to talk to again, like in other words, not a guy who's delivering the Christmas tree, but anybody in my universe that I may have a chance to interact with again, I go ahead and add it as a new contact in my phone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Makes it easier.
Because that way you know, even if I don't hear from them for a year, at least I'll know who they are when the phone rings. So last night, I get a text from an 818 number from somebody who obviously knows me and is looking for some tips on Christmas albums because he's doing a holiday thing on Friday night. I guess he's putting together a playlist. Now, that's intimate enough a question for me to feel like I should know who that person is.
For sure.
Well, yes, on their behalf, but everyone knows you're into Christmas, so it does open up the sort of landscape.
Right. Everybody knows I'm into Christmas, but not everybody has my phone number. This is somebody who knows the Christmas thing and also has my number and is comfortable enough out of the blue to just send this text mm-hmm. without signing it.
Yeah.
So I just answer. I just write back and start giving them my tips on what to do and whatnot. And then they respond again. Hey, thank you. This is all good. Is there anything in the last 5 years, you know, Christmas-wise, that has particularly surprised or delighted you? So now we're having a conversation, okay?
Oh, boy.
So I'm writing them back about the She and Him albums, and it goes on from there. And thank you, and great to talk to you. I have no idea who this person is.
What is wrong with you?
At any point, you could have done the old my new phone thing. Everyone knows that trick.
At the very beginning, you say, who is this?
But that would seem incredibly rude to me.
No.
If this is somebody that I am friendly with that has my number.
Okay.
It would be like Jensen texting me and me writing back, who is this? He would be like, what the F?
Then if you're afraid of offending someone, say, hey, lost my phone, nothing was backed up. Who is this?
Oh, so lie to this perfect stranger.
Oh.
Well, it's probably not a perfect stranger.
Or just discuss Christmas albums for 5 hours with them. You know, whatever.
That's what it ended up being.
Oh, God.
It would be funny if he's like, and we spoke throughout the whole night.
Right.
Didn't go to sleep, stayed up, talked to my new friend.
Texted them this morning. Yeah. Hey, how's your morning going?
But who is it? And now, of course, it's way too late now. I can't sit back now, but I feel like a dumbass.
So did you have any old conversations or this was a first?
Ooh. First one.
That's real scary.
Which is also weird. Because, yes, Jensen, if even if I hadn't put it in my address book, if I had looked back in 9 months ago, I had a conversation with this person, that would at least that would give me a hint as to what it was. So the first thing I did when I came in this morning is send it to the morning show crew here because I felt like it's likely that Dave or Christine or, you know, somebody would have this phone number. No one does. So it's a mystery. Mm. Maybe we just need to call it later.
I mean, I think we should just to figure out. I almost want to know because I'm scared for you.
Right.
Like, I think that this person.
This could be a wackadoodle
fan. That's what I'm saying. I think it is.
Yeah. No, you don't.
I do. I don't think it's someone you're friends with because you just said there's no other conversations. This is the first text message. Hey, man, you got any Christmas albums you like? That's a creepy thing to just out of nowhere text.
Did you say they had a gig or something this weekend?
They said need a 2-hour playlist for a holiday thing Friday night.
The holiday thing is that he is going to come to your house and bleed you out for 2 hours.
Oh,
and
is that it?
And needs a Christmas soundtrack to do it.
That is festive. Yeah.
a lot of red.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It sounds like you're saying I blew it by by not pushing back first thing.
Yeah. First thing you do. If there is a text from somebody that I don't know, mm-hmm. I immediately say, who is this? I don't even do the no contacts because if you're not in my phone, I don't like you. So who is this? And if it's someone I know, oh, cool. Continue. 9 times out of 10, it's a wrong number.
Oh, I hope it's a wrong number and they just accidentally got the expert on Christmas albums.
Expert! Oh, that would be incredible.
I mean, you know, we're having lunch tomorrow, so I guess, you know, I guess I set that up
in
apparently,
private. Yeah, in private.
Night.
With no one
around. All right.
Around.
Well, let me think about that. I don't know if there's an easy way to call someone who could be a good friend of mine, by the way, and say, and bust them and say, I don't know who you are. I don't know what the next step is here. But it did trouble me all night long that I had no idea who the person was.
I kind of love it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMeek Show, shall we?
I did not like it at all. It was disgusting.
Dewan, you haven't even heard about it yet.
It's early.
B makes his guess on the program today. Always fun. Mm-hmm. This is a wedding photographer we talked about very briefly yesterday. I don't see what the problem is, but there are those who think that her behavior at this wedding was inappropriate.
Oh, God.
I mean, she did have sex with a guest, and she did pee on a tree. But, I mean, look.
Other than that, great photos.
As far as I'm concerned, she made your wedding memorable and entertaining.
Sure.
Talinda Bennington is on the program today. She is continuing the great work that she is doing on mental health awareness on behalf of her late husband, Chester Bennington. We'll find out what she's got going on, including, I believe, her appearance at the Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend. We'll talk to our friend Matt Bellany. Yesterday, the Hollywood Reporter published an article, "No One Wants to Host the Oscars," and that may have just been the push the Academy Awards Committee needed to offer it to Kevin Hart. So we'll discuss that choice and find out what kind of trouble that broadcast is in. Why does nobody want to host it? It's the most high-profile gig in television. So we got that on the way. Christmas party disasters. It's that time of year. We're going to help you avoid some of those. And tickets to both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. The absolute best seats. We'll give you a chance to win those as well. All that coming up. And by the way, a little heads up. As you know, we have been working with Spark of Love, their toy drive, and trying to help them out this year because a lot of kids need a lot of toys, especially with the fires that happen in Southern California. And Beer Mug is going to be at a Del Taco in Ontario this morning. We'll check in with him in about a half an hour or so if you want to head on down there. 1909 East 4th Street in Ontario. Bring a new unwrapped toy and also register to win some tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. All right, Wednesday morning, Allie's here. Time for our first look at what's happening.
Remember we talked yesterday about how everybody freaked out on Sunday into Monday about friends leaving the Netflix platform? People were like, when can I ever see all those shows again?
And then it doesn't exist on TV 24 hours a day on various channels.
Exactly. And as the resident expert, it's also on it's on DVD and Blu-ray.
And as the resident expert of DVDs, you have never seen an episode of Friends?
No, never seen Friends. Seen it in passing. I know some things in order pop culturally to reference it.
Right.
There was a monkey at one point.
There was, Marcel.
Yeah, they have Gunther, the bartender.
Sure.
The barista.
Well, he's a barista, yeah.
Smelly cat.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
We were on a break.
We were on a break, I know, yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. You got the
gist of
it.
Oh, there's an alternate timeline version of the Friends, right? They like they're one of them's real heavy and they look different.
Monica, yeah. She was heavy growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not an alternate timeline?
I thought
that was like that's just their childhood?
I thought it was.
Oh, I think it's your childhood.
See, she used never to be seen fat. It. Don't care. Okay. Too much TV.
All right. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't too much TV back then.
No, there is now.
Is the thing.
Yeah, can't catch up now.
It's very strange you've never seen a single episode. But
already committed.
Needless to say, so of course everyone freaked out. Then Netflix said, no, no, just a rumor that it was going to expire on January 1st, 2019. Don't worry, we're going to keep it a whole nother year. Well, the New York Times published a report stating that Netflix is now paying $100 million to keep the show on the platform.
Netflix has too much money.
Yeah, nobody would, say on the record. Everyone was speaking on the condition of anonymity, but apparently, Netflix previously was paying $30 million a year.
How can it be worth that much to them?
I don't know.
How can they get a return on their investment for that much money?
On just one piece of media.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That people, like you said, can see everywhere else, whether you want to get the DVDs, whether you want to just turn on the TV. It's on
it's
all
on
the time.
3:30, it's on at 5, it's on at 6:30, it's on at 8. I mean, you can't get away from Friends.
And no one is literally saying, wow, I wasn't going to get Netflix, but they have Friends, so I need to get Netflix. So I don't understand that number.
Yeah, I don't get the economics of that at all.
No, sir. No, sir. Hey, you guys. We were all worried for Drake because he had been the top Spotify most streamed artist 2015, 2016. He lost the crown to Ed Sheeran last year. Don't worry. Because now that Spotify's 2018 data is available, Drake is back on top.
My boy!
Woo! 8 billion streams thanks to his album Scorpion and popularity of God's Plan in My Feelings. Top spot for female artists belongs to Ariana Grande. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And as for groups, sorry, Coldplay.
It's ICP, Insane Clown Posse?
Not insane. I think they're just out of the top three.
Bloodhound Gang.
No. No.
I'm not good at this.
But imagine.
Papa Roach.
No. Imagine Dragons, most streamed group.
That was going to be my next one.
They took the title away from Coldplay, which I just think is rude. I just think it's rude, right?
Hey, was this Drake song this year or last year?
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here.
Not this year.
Not this year. And that's the Trebek remix.
Oh,
which,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, they did with Skrillex. What? Hey, some birthdays for you. Not a lot of people that you're like, hey, look at them. Like Nick Stahl, Paula Patton, Amy Acker, Margaret Cho, Little Richard.
It's a real B-team.
Yeah. I don't know who two of those people are, by the way. Who's Amy Acker and who's Nick Stahl?
Nick Stahl's an actor. That one I know.
Nick Stahl, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, In the Bedroom, Sin City. Amy Acker just says actress after her name. So feel like maybe we should have more.
I looked her up on Wikipedia. It just says not Amy Adams. That seems so mean.
That's so mean.
So mean.
Oh.
Maybe Amy Acker is who you were texting with.
That could be.
Could be. Guys, that's...
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Allie, if you had to guess, you're usually pretty good at guessing. If you had to guess, how many toys do you think the Spark of Love toy drive has successfully collected in their 25-year history?
Ooh, a gazillion and four.
You are very close.
Thank
More
you.
Than 10 million toys.
Wow.
For undeserved children and teens, and we are happy to be partnering with them this year. Our man Beer Mug is out on the street asking you to swing on by with a new unwrapped toy. Mugs, welcome, son. How are you?
Why does God hate the kids, and why is he making it rain on a day we're trying to collect toys?
I mean, that's a big, like a big jump. Question.
Yeah.
Why does God hate children? I mean, I don't know how to handle that right now. But how bad is it out there in Ontario?
Well, it's raining pretty good out here, but we are here at 1909 East 4th Street, and we are going to do our best to collect the toys for the kids. But
okay.
I don't know if the rain's going to let up, but let's see if that stops people.
Well, I hope it won't. I hope that people will look at it and go, it's a minor inconvenience that it's a little bit wet out there, but we really do have to get some presents under the tree this year. So you swing on by that location. Your phone's kind of crappy today. I don't know if that's because of the rain, but 1909 East 4th Street, Ontario is where Beer Mug is. He's at the Del Taco location. He'll be there till after 9. And tell the kids what you're giving away today, Mugs.
Guys, we are doing drawings every hour on the top of the hour for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. So all you got to do, show up, hang out, eat some breakfast, put your name in our Enter to Win box, and you could be going to the show this weekend.
All right, fantastic. And we have those details at the Kevin and Bean social media as well if you want the address. Del Taco in Ontario. Thanks, Mugs. We'll check in with you later.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Brr. B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes. Good. Omar is actually in the studio with us right now. I can ask you personally. I feel like some of those sound bites don't really have anything to do with the feature that we're doing.
You know, it's one of those things where I went in the lab and I tried to take them out and it just, they won't come off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they're cemented in there forever, Bean. Sorry, I did try, though.
You tried.
We don't question creativity around here. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is an odd group play of the game today, but Kevin is out sick and Beer Mug is on location in Ontario. So the players today are going to be Omar, Jensen, and Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic is the 2018 most popular dog names. revealed of the most popular dog names in the United States. I've got the top 25 in front of me, but let's see how you can do on the top 10. Allie, we're going to let you sit at the head of the table today and take this ceremonial first crack at it.
It's the name of my old golden retriever, the best dog in the world. Let's go, Bailey.
Bailey is number 8, ladies and gentlemen.
How do you know that? How would you just know the dog names? It's so crazy to me. Oh, I know number 8. It's Bailey.
I didn't know it was number 8. I thought it should be top 10 because it's a great name for a dog, especially a golden retriever.
All right.
And I believe, Allie, I have told you before that I have a friend with a golden retriever who is also named Bailey.
See?
So I'm not surprised to see that. All right, you are on the board. Jensen, you're up next, please.
I'm going to go with an old favorite. I'm just going to say Rex.
Rex is an outstanding name. Unfortunately, it is not in the top 25 this year.
Hang out with enough dogs.
Anyway, all right, Omar.
I'm going to guess a lot of people aren't creative, and there's a lot of things that are just throwbacks. So I'm thinking that a lot of people are calling their dogs Lassie.
No Lassie.
No?
Wow. I don't know that anyone under 40 has ever heard of Lassie, but I appreciate what you tried to do there.
Okay.
Allie.
I know so many dogs and so many little girls with this name. Give me a Bella.
Bella, ladies and gentlemen, is only number one.
Yes!
What? Are you a dog?
Yes! I wish I was.
Bella, by the way, apparently has been 3 years in a row, has been the number one dog name in America. It can't still be the Twilight hangover, can it?
I don't know. I think also that it's, you know, beautiful. I think that helps out. I don't know.
Wow. Well done.
Thank
Allie's,
you.
Allie's leading 2-0 at this point.
Thank you.
All right. Jensen, I think you're up next.
Well, I was going to jokingly answer Antferny, which is one of my favorite names ever. But you got me on a new thing. Elsa. Mm-hmm. Is Elsa on the list?
Mm. Is Elsa? That's an outstanding guess with all the little kids who like Frozen. No.
Unbelievable.
All right. Omar.
Spike?
Mm. No, I'm sorry. I've known some spikes, though.
What?
I have known some spikes. Oh. Hey, Omar, do you have a dog?
No, I don't. No.
Allie, who's on a roll here today.
I am going to go with, I love human names for dogs. We've discussed mm-hmm, this, but a lot of people are like, I got a Jack Russell. His name is Jack.
Is that your guess? Is Jack?
Yeah.
That's a good name, but no.
Oh!
Number 12, though. Jack is number 12. Oh. So just not in the top 10. You don't get a point for it, but very close. All right, Jensen, let's get you on the board.
Well, I know I name dogs really well. I have an all-white dog that I named Brunch. Dog so white, I named him Brunch. It's what white people like. So I'm going to go with another angle with Anna or Anna.
I'm going to say no and no. Oh,
this is terrible.
Omar.
I don't have a dog now, but I did growing up, and mm-hmm, I think this is a very popular dog's name. His name was Duke.
Duke does sound like it should be on this list.
It should be.
What?
But
the
it
hell?
Is not.
So this list is bogus, man.
It's legit. Let's go around one more time. Allie, your final guess.
I've got two, but I will go with Abby.
Abby, I'm sorry. No. Jensen, your final guess.
All right. I'm going to go with an old classic, Rover.
No Rover.
Who are these people?
Yeah. Omar, close it down.
I'm going to go with Astro.
Astro is another classic dog name.
Wow.
All right, here's your top 20, you guys. Ugh. Maggie.
Maggie?
Is actually number 25. Number 25. Then Lily. Oh, no, then Scout. Harley. Scout. And Willow.
Those are all names of kids at, Santa Monica Middle School.
Yeah, for
number
sure.
20 is Holly. Number 19, Bear. Number 18, Henry. Then Toby. Have you ever met a dog named Toby?
I haven't, but I'd like to.
Number 16 is Sadie. Then Ruby. Luna. Here's one I thought you might guess. Daisy.
Oh, Daisy.
Daisy.
Number 12 is Jack. Number 11 is Cooper, which surprised me, by the way.
Oh, I had that.
Number 10, Buddy.
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 Good name. Good name.
Yeah.
Number 9, Molly.
Okay.
Number 8, Bailey. Number 7, Poppy. Number 6, now this was a name that was number
Poppy.
1. Yes, Poppy, number 7. Number 6 is a name that was number 1 for many years, Max.
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 Max has a good dog
I know
name.
A lot of labs named Max.
I know a lot of good boys named Max.
Yes. Yeah.
Number 5, Bex.
What?
What?
Bex.
Okay, no.
I've never met a dog named Bex.
No.
Number 4 is Lucy. Number 3 is Charlie. Number 2 is... Was that Linus who just weighed in?
Yes.
He's very disappointed
He's
in
so
this
pissed.
List.
He hates the list.
Linus, that was so well timed.
I thought it was a draw.
No. I think he wants to go out. Number 2 is Coco. Coco. We're in love with the Coco. And then number 1 was Bella. So, Allie, you are the winner. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess,
We are going to introduce you to the best wedding photographer in the world.
Oh, God, you guys are obsessed now.
Jensen, I think you need to renew your vows. What's it been, like a month?
I think you, too. You can look into it as well.
I think it's time to hire her. We'll discuss. Plus, our friend Matt Bellany is going to be joining us to talk about Kevin Hart as the pick for the Oscar host for 2019. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, Allie's got what's happening, and you come bearing gifts.
I do. We all know that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is going to be in theaters December 14th, but how would you, yes, you, like to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at Pacific's The Grove? That is all. Yeah, the kids love it. December the 11th. If you would like to go to that,
call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too. Yeah, we're going to give five pairs of passes away. So, 1-800-520-1067. I love
call
you.
Now.
State callers 10 through 14, and you're going to go see it early on December 11th at Pacific's The Grove. Enjoy that.
Yeah, I want to see
it. There's no catch.
There is no catch. Yeah, just give a call, and if your caller's 10 through 14, you are going to get the tickets. Very easy. Yeah, you want to see
now.
It, right?
Call now, yeah.
Yeah, call now.
Love you.
Okay. Good times. Hey, just a quick reminder. I brought this up yesterday, but I want the earlier people to know about this. Blaze Pizza in Westlake Village is going to offer a free build-your-own pizza today and collect donations for the Ventura County Community Foundation. That's raising money for those affected by the Southern California fires. So 100% of the donations received are going directly to VCCF. So go down, build your own pizza, slap some money in their pocket, and everyone's going to be happy.
Hey, Allie, my friend Shannon went down there. Are you aware of whether or not her pizza is ready?
I don't know. Let's check.
All right, sounds like she said.
No video has brought Bean more joy than that pizza video. But she'd be real early because it's from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. today. That's at Blaze Pizza, 3980 Thousand Oaks Boulevard. Enjoy.
She'll just have to wait till they open, I guess.
She's just going to have to wait.
By the way, Blaze Pizza, very good pizza.
Yeah, you like it.
It's great pizza.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, how much would you give if you went down and they're like, hey, here's a little build-your-own pizza. Mm-hmm. All we're asking for is a little donation.
Oh, sorry, left my wallet at home.
No, you would not, Jensen.
Gotta go.
That
gotta
is
go.
Not true.
Speeds out.
That is not true.
Call now.
No, well, no. We already have those callers, but thank you. You guys, did you wake up to the news like I did? Cardi B and Offset? No longer together, you guys. Yeah, did you hear?
The opposite of our royal wedding.
How are you going to drop this on us and expect us to go about our day?
No!
I know. Well, why don't we just hear from Cardi B herself? This is something that she posted on Instagram early this morning.
So everybody been bugging me and everything. And you know, I've been trying to work things out with my baby father for a hot minute now. And we're really good friends. And, you know, we're really good business partners. And, you know, he's always somebody that I run to talk to. And we got a lot of love for each other. But things just haven't been working out between us for a long time. And it's nobody's fault. It's just like, I guess we grew out of love. But we're not together anymore. I don't know, it might take time to get a divorce, and I'm going to always have a lot of love for him because he is my daughter's father, and yeah.
Does she live in a jazz alley?
I wasn't quite sure what that music was in the background.
It's like where Heathcliff lives or whatever, that like weird alley with the cats and stuff. That's a reference for six people.
Well, you're probably all wondering, what does Offset have to say? Well, he responded to the video by saying, y'all won. Really?
Oh, meaning that the fans were what broke them up?
I don't know.
A lot of people used to be like, he's cheating and like post up photos and stuff. Right. I think he was probably being like, y'all got what you wanted.
Yeah. A lot of times when the rumors were that he was cheating, then Cardi B would send people after those women to beat them up.
But then she also was like, you don't know what I did.
And then she would join into the beating them up and then miss court dates
and
for
then
that.
She'd be like, I like Balenciagas, the ones that look like Shaq.
This whole relationship maybe wasn't destined for, you know, the forever, but maybe the kids can work it out.
If they can't make it.
I know we talk about how we ship so celebrity couples sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, if he were alive, he would say, why do you care whether they're together or not? I liked them together. I thought they were a fun couple. I'm very sad to hear this news.
I mean, it was basically a cheating affair story mm-hmm. every other week. But yeah, sure.
Yeah. And honestly, if you could just never say shit people, I think that would help me.
No. I
in
understand.
The long run.
That's a thing.
Yeah, we're the youth council of this show. No. And I was in on
it. No. Yeah. I hate the shipping.
My disappointment is immeasurable.
Oh, sorry.
And my day is ruined.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry.
A lot of people sad about Cardi being offset.
I just wanted to bring you the story, but you're right. There should have been a warning.
Yeah.
I should have maybe eased into it.
Yeah.
I apologize. Agree. Yeah. We've had that conversation before, though, being about people that we really would be upset if they
broke up. I mean, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, for instance, I feel like I have no good analogy for this, but that'd be a hard news to wake up to.
Right.
We found out there was a problem.
I had a rough one with, because Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman are no longer together.
I think they are, though. I think they got back.
What a roller coaster.
Yeah. So. Mine is Meg Mullally and Nick Offerman.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be done for if they ever break up.
I was very sad over Channing and Jenna. That one hurt me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, if that broke down.
Oh,
that
I thought you would news. Yeah. I was like, what?
No, that would be very painful.
Chrissy Teigen, John Legend.
They got to stay together forever.
Right.
Yeah, they have to.
Gotta, yeah.
What about Dax Shepard?
And Kristen Bell, absolutely.
You know what? I think Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, if they broke up, I'd be devastated.
Ooh, you know, I...
Jensen, going to need what? You to take a seat. Yeah, what? We've got some news for you.
Well, my parents, if my parents broke up?
Yes.
No, they did when I was 21.
Yeah. Allie and her Postmates delivery guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we're going strong.
If they didn't see each other for a day, I'd be worried.
That'd be hurtful.
Yeah, don't worry.
Chip and hockey?
I see him every day. Yeah, Chip and hockey.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah. Let's talk some birthdays, you guys. How about Paula Patton, Nick Stahl, Little Richard, right?
He's still alive.
Pioneer.
It is shocking to me that he is still alive.
Is it?
Well, it is. And I've talked about this before, of the legends of the 1950s. Mm-hmm. Know your audience. Most of them are gone. You know, your Elvis and your Johnny Cash and your Carl Perkins and, you know, and your Chuck Berry, they're all gone. But Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis continue to survive against all odds.
Maybe what you just needed to do was bone a cousin or wear really cool jackets.
Well,
because Jerry
things are looking
Lewis
good for Elton John then.
With the he'll live forever. That's what I'm saying.
The jackets, though, right?
The jackets.
Right.
We're going to learn a lot in that biopic that's coming out, but I don't believe that's true. Wasn't it Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. I always get confused with Jerry Lewis and Jerry Lee Lewis. Okay. Target. Happy birthday.
As you know, you guys, K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are this weekend at the Forum. We're giving you plenty of chances to win, including a game you can play in less than 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Beer Mug is giving away tickets at the top of every hour on his location right now. He's out there with the Kevin and Bean Janky van at the Del Taco in Ontario, 1909 East 4th Street, Ontario. He'll be there until a little bit after 9 o'clock. Please swing on by and help us help the Spark of Love toy drive and drop off a new unwrapped toy for the holidays. We have that details at krock.com. All right, Jensen, I'm very excited about this story. I only know the barest possible details.
Yeah.
But I feel like my girlfriend, Max McIntyre, is being wrongly accused here.
This is not that. This is someone who should not be applauded, Bean. Come on. This is a bad story.
I feel like she's getting a raw deal here.
No, listen.
Well, maybe I should hear the facts.
Yeah, I recently got married. It was the best day of my life. And mm-hmm. what you basically do is you put your trust into a bunch of people who are vendors. You know what I mean? Like, there's the flower person, there's the videographer, there's the DJ.
Sure.
These people are in full control of whether or not you're going to enjoy your day.
Yeah.
And you just you count on them to show up, to be professional, to do the job that you've agreed upon, and to not cause trouble.
Yeah, it's contractual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, let's find out what happened to one couple who hired a certain photographer named Catherine Metha, that's her real legal name, mm-hmm. in Texas.
It was the day they had dreamed about, a joyous outdoor wedding ceremony at a beautiful venue near Dallas. So you can imagine the newlyweds' dismay when cops arrived and arrested, of all people, the wedding photographer.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's not a good start.
If the cops ever come and arrest somebody at your wedding, I think that's bad news.
It can't be good.
Mm-mm. It can't be good. But it does, again, free entertainment for all of the invited guests.
It's like live PD.
A memorable wedding.
Yeah.
They'll never forget.
Yeah, but you think, you hear that and you think maybe outstanding parking tickets.
Yeah, warrants something.
Warrants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Even like counterfeiting could work. That's as much as I could think of.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about the photographer first.
This is the photographer, Catherine Mehta, a 26-year-old who also works as a model and once sought to audition for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's something you put on your LinkedIn when you're looking for wedding photos.
Now, this is curious to me because we all know the rule in the world is you never hire a nanny that's hotter than your wife.
Mm-hmm.
If you're organizing a wedding here, do you want to bring somebody? No offense, I'm not saying discriminate against somebody because she's attractive,
mm-hmm.
but do you want to hire the hottest chick you've ever met to be roaming your wedding if you're the bride?
Well, we shouldn't say that would be, you know, you could be a very good looking person or a model and be a good photographer.
Sure,
you know,
certainly.
I'm not sure that was her biggest problem. What could be her biggest problem? How did she ruin this event?
According to the police report, two off-duty deputies working security at the wedding were told that Mehta had been found having sex with a male there.
Huh. A male bear?
I think it's a male bear.
Like,
what
this sounds awesome.
Why were there undercover narcs at this wedding?
I mean, listen, that's not a good thing to do at someone else's wedding. We know
who
that's...
dropped a dime on my girlfriend here.
Well, that's it though, right? That you can't get any worse than that.
That's pretty bad.
And also, why would you get arrested for that? That doesn't sound right. Well, is there anything else she could have done to make it worse? I don't know.
The report goes on to say that when she was asked to leave the property, she went to a tree and relieved herself.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
She peed on a tree?
I mean, we do bury the lead there.
Yes.
That seems like the arrestable offense.
Maybe she was marking her territory, or maybe, you know, she was having sex with a bear. So I don't know if that's something they cooked up.
I just am like so terrified. Well, who was taking photos?
Right.
When she was peeing. Who's in charge here?
So that means that when she was having sex with this guy, someone called 911? None of that makes sense. Why would you? Why?
Well, they said there were undercover officers there at the wedding, didn't they?
Well, the police have a theory.
Investigators believe Mehta mixed the anti-anxiety medication Xanax with alcohol.
Yeah. I don't know if that's enough, really.
I think that would, I think that could screw you up. You could maybe not make great choices under the influence of alcohol and Xanax.
That is sort of the Mariah Carey special, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I guess it makes sense because in the police report, it says that she was taken into custody. And here's the quote of what she yelled. Y'all families will be dead by Christmas. Y'all's daughters are dead. My dad is going to find out about this, and y'all are effing dead. D-E-A-D.
Ooh.
Oh, when you spell it, it's real.
I mean,
that's serious.
Yeah.
It's a death wish. Now, her sister, who is doing what all good sisters might do, told the news her theory, which is a different, totally impossible, obvious lie of an excuse.
She even noticed herself. She wasn't feeling like herself.
The accused photographer's sister says Mehta was slipped spiked drinks.
She says she went outside, and I guess there's a fountain outside, and I guess these two men tried to approach her and tried to do inappropriate things. And, you know, she was yelling and trying to get help, and, you know, everything just got turned around onto her.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, that's the ticket.
It got turned around onto her, you guys.
In a negative way.
It wasn't her fault.
Yeah, in a negative way. By the way, the sister doesn't even sound like she believes it.
No.
She's just making it up as she goes.
Okay, I'm going to float this one by. What do you think? How does this sound? Is this possible?
Also, maybe she's tired? She's just like throwing things out as she goes.
Could there have been an eclipse? Is there any reason why that may have had an effect on her?
Maybe Haley's Comet? I don't know. Listen, she's been silent since her arrest, but her Instagram, which is just modeling pictures of her, has been flooded with troll comments, mostly by dirtbags. But my favorite was, hey, are you available on January 12th to photograph a wedding? Asking for a friend.
More tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we have a special guest joining us, not only on the show here in a few minutes, but at the shows this weekend. Our friend Talinda Bennington is going to be there talking about her 320 Change program, trying to improve mental health. Very kind of her to Linda to come on and share her experience and help the rest of us who could use it.
Absolutely.
We saw a headline in the Hollywood Reporter yesterday that I thought was fascinating. Really interesting article, too. Why the Oscar host has become the least wanted job in Hollywood. Now, 24 hours later, we know that they did finally find someone. But let's talk about a little bit of some of the problems the Oscars are having and how they ended up with Kevin Hart. Matt Bellany is on the phone. He is the executive editor of the Hollywood Reporter, close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, and he joins us again. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
This shows the power of the Hollywood Reporter, man. You put the pressure on the Academy Awards, and they instantly hire a guy just so you don't make him look bad.
We know there were some fire drills going on there yesterday. They definitely wanted an announcement. But, you know, Kevin Hart's not a bad choice, given the fact that most people in Hollywood, when you hear Oscar hosts, they just run away. They don't want to do it.
Now, let's talk about that, because I think that might surprise a lot of people, because folks look at it as the most prestigious hosting gig there is. It's certainly the gold standard, the Academy Awards. It's got the biggest audience of the year outside of a Super Bowl. Why wouldn't somebody want to be in front of an audience that big?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, the kind of people they want big names that will lure an audience. But for those kinds of people, they don't really need this. They don't really need that platform anymore. They're already big enough. And for the people that are up-and-comers and unknown, the Academy doesn't want them because they don't bring an audience to the show. And, you know, in the social media age, you just get torn apart when you host the Oscars. You have to appease the old inside Hollywood crowd in the room. And then you also have this other audience on television that's watching, and you have the social media audience. It's almost impossible to please anyone. And then if you do anything outside the bounds of normal, like when Seth MacFarlane hosted and sang the We Saw Your Boobs song, mm-hmm. you just get destroyed by everyone.
That didn't age so well, did it, that song?
Not the best.
No.
It is funny that you mentioned Seth MacFarlane, and David Letterman is another one that you kind of get the feeling that it actually hurt their careers for the rest of their lives because of hosting the Oscars, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Letterman would always joke about his Uma Oprah moment that he had on the Oscars, where he thought it was hilarious to keep referencing Uma Thurman and Oprah Winfrey, but people watching did not find it as hilarious, and it always haunted him. I mean,
right.
You look at the hosts that they've had. Only Jimmy Kimmel has escaped relatively unscathed. I mean, you look at when James Franco and Anne Hathaway hosted. That was a disaster.
Sweet Jesus.
You know, you look, even Chris Rock got, who is generally well-liked, got some criticism for some of the, kind of racially tinged jokes that he made. It's just, it's such a public stage, and there are so many people ready to tear you down. There's not much upside.
It's a lose-lose. And also, you forget that Billy Crystal had that thing on lock mm-hmm. for like a decade. Like, he was sort of the quintessential host for such a long time.
Yeah.
And then you had to do a song, and you had to do... It was like you had to do a certain thing.
Yeah, the bar was set by him.
And you had to be in a video, putting mm-hmm. yourself in movies.
But that's sort of a different era. Remember, they brought Billy Crystal back in 2012, the sort of, almost like the disembodied corpse of Billy Crystal to re-host the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it was not very well received. That shtick from the 90s and early 2000s, it doesn't go over as well. It's like it feels old-timey.
Yes.
We are talking to Matt Bellany here on the phone. He's the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, THR.com, talking about Kevin Hart being named as the host of the Academy Awards next year. I was a little bit surprised that Jimmy Kimmel said no, because I thought he did a great job both times. But I also think it's so much work for a guy like Jimmy, who's also doing four nights a week of network television that requires an incredible amount of work. And it's not like the pay's that great, right?
No, I mean, and Kimmel did it. He did it really well. He presided over one of the most infamous moments in television history with the wrong Best Picture winner announced the first time that he hosts. And he just, he just decided that he's done it. He can check the box in his career. He doesn't need to do it again. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
How do you feel? Look, Kevin Hart is a superstar as a comedy actor. How do you feel he is as a host? We've had a little bit of experience seeing him with the MTV Video Music Awards. I think he hosted the MLB All-Star Game NBA All-Star Game, one of those.
I wrote for him on the Movie Awards, the MTV Movie Awards one year, yeah.
Is he well-suited for something like this, do you think, Matt?
I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be funny. You know, that what the Academy and ABC is hoping is that he will bring a new audience to the Oscars. The ratings have been in free fall for the last few years, and the last time they did really well was when Ellen DeGeneres hosted, and she has a similar profile in that she has rabid fans, huge social media following, and she has a platform to promote it. Now, Kevin Hart's a big movie star. He does, you know, huge numbers on comedy touring. He's got big social media following. The hope is that those fans will come to the Oscars and boost the ratings, because the normal person that watches the Oscars is older, white, more female, and, you know, Kevin Hart could bring a new demo to this show.
The only thing with Kevin Hart is I've watched him in interviews, and anytime anyone asks anything about Hollywood, anything, he just gets the, he's like a politician. He never takes a side on anything. Like, I think part of the Oscars, people want the host to dish on the people in the audience, make a little fun of these people. Like, that's part of why you watch.
Oh, absolutely. You, that and people falling down on the red carpet. But, you know, you want that kind of, like, insider giving Hollywood the business as a viewer.
Right.
But the people in the room don't necessarily want that.
And that's so, why you should do it, you know, 10 times harder.
Right, exactly. There's that balance that you have to walk. I'm sure there will be a lot of short person jokes. You know, there will probably be some, you know, racially tinged jokes that he does. But, you know, listen, I'm one of those people where I don't take it that seriously. I just say, listen, just make us laugh for 10 minutes and then make the show go quickly and you're done.
Yeah.
Like, some people have a higher standard.
Do you think he's going to lead with Oscar's going to be a lot shorter this year?
well, you just wrote his first joke.
Oh, that's awful.
I hope not.
Last question for me, Matt, and that is, do you guess there was any talk about having him co-host with his best friend, The Rock, because they have such incredible chemistry together?
You know, I am told The Rock passed.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm told The Rock passed before they went to Kevin Hart.
Gotcha.
Any other?
That's not confirmed. I have just been told by a couple people, because they searched. They put feelers out all over town. Ellen has an open offer. If she ever wants to come back, they will take her in a second.
Wow.
When Kimmel said he didn't want to do it, they started putting feelers out around town.
I had in our little office pool, I had Tiffany Haddish, which I think would have been a nice host as well this year.
I agree. I am told that she also was not interested. She has a bunch of other things she's doing and couldn't get away.
Wow. You know, Groupon. I mean, Groupon keeps her busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Groupon stuff does. They still haven't named a Golden Globes host, so we'll see what they do for that.
Well, I was all about Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, because if you've ever watched them host the Independent Spirit Awards, which not sure why you would, but I watch it every year now because they've hosted, I think, 2 years in a row, and they kill. Those two together, riffing and riffing on everyone in the room, is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're very funny, but they are not well-known enough. My mom doesn't know who they are. She'd be like, who the hell is this? I'm not watching.
Yeah.
Well, your mom's mean.
Right?
I know. They should get them to present. They'd be greatest presenters.
They would.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Matt, we're out of time, but like I said, I give you all the credit in the world for pushing them toward making an announcement today, because you really did shine the heat lamp on him yesterday. The Hollywood Reporter is THR.com. Matt is on Twitter at THR Matt Bellany. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. If we don't talk to you before then, happy holidays, and we'll see you again soon. Ali's got what's happening coming up on the Kevin Devine Show in about 10 minutes. Then we'll give you your tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. And don't forget, Beer Mug is on location in Ontario at the Del Taco there, 1909 East 4th Street, Ontario. He is also giving away tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. And we do ask, if you can, you stop by with a new unwrapped toy, as we're in partnership this year with the Spark of Love Toy Drive. Ali, I don't know about you, but I don't think more than 2 or 3 days goes by on my social media feed that I don't see the hashtag Make Chester Proud.
Yep.
It is out there to stay in memory of our late great friend Chester Bennington. And mental health awareness has, I think, really been at an all-time high this last couple of years, partly because of how we felt losing Chester. Well, Talinda Bennington, his widow, is back on the throne, and she has essentially made it her life's work to try to stop what happened to Chester happening to anybody else, and making mental health a top priority. And we are always happy to give some airtime to Talinda, and she joins us on the phone right now. How are you, Talinda?
Good. Hi. Good morning.
Happy holidays. I feel like, and I'm not trying to speak for you, but I feel like you, you know, went through your mourning period and then woke up one day and said, I got to dedicate my life to figuring out a way to have this not happen to somebody else's family.
I did. It's actually carried me through my grief quite far.
Mm-hmm. And how
gives a lot back.
How's it going? I imagine, you know, you and your husband always had such a close relationship with Linkin Park fans. I imagine you hear stories all the time about how people find strength through the work that you and others are doing.
I do. And it's really great to hear. And it's such an honor, you know, to talk to somebody and hear how their lives were affected and how they've been, you know, lifted up and how they're doing better for themselves. Because of this, because of their awareness of surrounding mental health, their own mental health, so it makes me happy.
Do you run into a lot of people who can't get their head around somebody like Chester, who on the outside seemed like he had everything with the beautiful family and the great career and the friends and everything, or Anthony Bourdain or Kate Spade or Chris Cornell? Are there still some people who just don't get it and think, hey, those folks have everything. They've got everything firing on all cylinders with no problems?
Oh, I'm sure there are. Yeah. I mean, there's always some folks who believe everything. But you know, the few that I've encountered, I've taken it as an opportunity to share with them what I know about it being, you know, an impulsive decision and that, you know, these types of things, somebody dying by suicide isn't really a sane moment in their life. And sadly, it has such, you know, terminal consequences.
Certainly, yeah. What is the, it's called the Campaign to Change Direction. I know that you're going to have a booth at the Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend. What's that all about and what's been going on, what'll be going on site at the forum?
Okay, yeah. Thanks. First of all, thanks for having us over there. And we're going to have a booth set up very much like how we did at the Tribute Show. There's going to be given our mental health professionals in the crowd walking around handing out cards with the 5 signs of emotional health and emotional suffering, to how to recognize those signs, access to resources for pretty much any of your needs, like whether you need help for yourself or for a friend or you have a question. It's just kind of a one-stop shop to start your own mental health journey or gather some knowledge surrounding the mental health area. And it was really effective at the show, at the Linkin Park Tribute Show. To this day, I hear people speaking about it and, you know, they'll have their card in the wallet. So I just think it's just going to be as effective, if not more, this time around.
That's great. And I love that you came up with the 5 signs of emotional suffering, because we've always, you know, we've always heard from doctors, here's how you know somebody's having a heart attack, or here's how you know somebody is having a stroke or something like that. And now I feel like we're at a point where we're taking mental health so seriously that people are starting to go, oh, you know what? He doesn't seem right. His personality has changed, or he seems withdrawn, or he's not taking care of himself. People are now starting to connect the dots and realize it may be the symptom of a bigger problem. And that's, that's great information to get out there.
Yeah, thank you. And it's also, you know, it doesn't have to be the end of the world if you have some of these symptoms or you see that in somebody else. It's just really offering, you know, the support to reach out, to connect. Just, you know, we're all of the human condition, and we need to really keep that in our minds and be there for one another in the ways that we can, rather than looking at somebody who's struggling as that's their problem, or I don't want to get too close to that, you know?
Well said. Well said, Talinda. You are the co-founder of 320 Changes Direction, and the website is changedirection.org. If you are coming to the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend, definitely look for the booth. Stop by, ask questions, get a card, and of course you can go to the website to get more information as well. Talinda, are you coming at all this weekend when we see you?
I am going to try to come to one of the shows. I would really love to. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of birthday plans this weekend with friends, but I really would love to.
Yeah, I know. You know, being around with Linkin Park for so long, you know, you have so many friends in our world, in our universe, you know, with all of the various bands and people that work for them. I know that it must be fun to see them when you can. But I'm glad you took some time to let us know what's going on and keep fighting the good fight. You're doing a lot of great work, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Talinda. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Talk to you later.
Allie, do you have the Josh Homme news? Am I stealing your thunder if I say something?
I would love for you to.
He's recording a charity single of Silent Night.
Oh.
You don't normally go to Queens of the Stone Age for your Christmas music, but I'm all about it.
Do you get text messages on all Christmas music news?
I do, yeah.
I like to
stay current.
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, we're going to give you your tickets to both nights for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 happening this weekend at the Forum in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now. First, Allie's got what's happening here on this Wednesday.
You guys love Between Two Ferns like I do.
Oh, so very much.
If you guys don't know what it is, it's Zach Galifianakis with usually a really high-profile actor, singer, Hillary Clinton, whatever, asking absurd questions, making little to no sense, and making the person feel really uncomfortable. It's like a low-budget talk show where there's just two ferns and Zach Galifianakis. Mm-hmm. It was on Funny or Die between 2008 and 2014. Had everyone on it. I think my favorite was John Hamm for one specific question, which I can't say here. But God bless you, Scott Aukerman, because it's brilliant.
I also like Brad Pitt.
I did like Brad Pitt.
That was awesome.
Yes.
They're all great, though.
They are.
Justin Bieber was great. Jerry Seinfeld was great. President Obama was great. They're awesome.
They are awesome. Well, it's being made into a movie. Production is already and secretly underway on a feature version of the show. So far, we're hearing that Peter Dinklage, David Letterman, Keanu Reeves, and Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper are reportedly involved as well.
So do we follow the character?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how they make that a movie.
I don't know. Do we just get to know the talk show host, how he got into it, a little backstory, that type of thing?
Technically Zach Galifianakis.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a button.
Right.
Thank you. Thank
here's
you.
Here's a little Zach with Bruce Willis, I think.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. So, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three. Which is your favorite, Ashton?
You want more?
I do.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. When you were making The Whole 10 Yards, were you ever worried that it would be too good?
Oh, I love him so much. So we should have Scott Aukerman and talk about it, because really, what the hell is happening? It's good stuff. Bean, I need you to prepare yourself for this story.
Uh-oh. Is this bad news?
No, it's got everything. It's good news that turns into greater news.
Wow.
And then I say it's all coming to us from Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who, right then, you're like, all right, I love him so very much.
Well, I don't want to be anywhere near his baseball bat, I'll tell you that.
Well, you don't. That's just a character. He is a extremely nice man. If you don't know who he is, he's from The Walking Dead. He's from pretty much every great movie ever, right? It's a great description.
Yeah, he's a terrific actor.
Absolutely.
By all accounts, a very nice man.
A North Carolina animal rescue is giving him a shout out because he has adopted not one, but two animals. And oh, that is the worst sound. Not animals that you would think he would adopt. And the reason he adopted them together is because they became best friends. This is a donkey and an
emu. And a Shrek.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, I got you.
No, a donkey and an emu.
Oh, how cute.
Wait until you hear their names. Jack and Diane reportedly cuddle and sleep together, and they would become frantic when they were separated. So Jeffrey Dean Morgan was like, well, I can't separate them. I need to get both of them. He has a farm in the Hudson Valley where they're going to live, Jack and Diane.
That's so sweet.
Right? And then he needs to get like a little animal and call him Diddy.
See what you did there. I love it when people adopt animals that want to be together and,
yes.
and need to be together and keep them together. A lot of times you'll see that, you know, with a cat adoption is they have to go with their other cat, you know, for instance. Don't split them up. Keep them together if
see,
you can.
But there is an issue. When I adopted my cat, mm-hmm. they said, oh, this is, I think his name was like Stuart before I named him Bill, which I think was the right move by me. And they said, with his family. And I went, oh, well, I'd want to know more about the family in case. And they go, his six brothers and sisters. And I said, there's no way I'm doing that.
I mean, that's a litter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
So
no.
I just took Bill. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's too much.
Do
yeah.
you think Bill thinks about him all the time?
Oh, no, I erased his memory from it. I told him I'm his real family.
Okay.
Those people never existed.
All right,
I do all I'm supposed to do as an adopted family. Yeah. As a
so
dad.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan has a donkey and an emu.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
I love it. I love that story so very much.
I really believe mm-hmm. that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey.
Well, no one's talking about riding a donkey.
Okay, that's an odd thing to say, sir.
I suck donkey d-
Oh, jeez.
That's
Allie,
even worse.
Is that you?
I don't think that was me. Was that me?
It was you.
Yes. What even, what were you in reference to?
I don't know. We were talking about the Pope or something.
How dare you? No, I think I was actually trying to do a promo and I kept messing up.
Got
so
it.
I said that I, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, happy birthday, Nick Stahl, Paula Patton, Margaret Cho, and Little Richard, and that's what's happening. Contest Bean.
Oh, this is me. Okay. Hey, it's time, you guys. 1-800-520-1067. You're going to be asked to play a game. Someone will win tickets to both nights on the floor to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. They're the absolute best seats in the house, you guys. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. All right, you guys. How are we feeling about this? We're trying something new again.
When I took the job, I didn't quite know that we'd have to come up with 35 games a week. No one told me that.
Well, we give away a lot of tickets for these shows, Jensen.
Yeah.
It's K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. This time around, we're paying tribute to one of the bands on night two. They are called Young the Giant. They are a fantastic band. We are delighted to have them. But because they're on the bill, that gives us an excuse to play a game we like to call Famous Giants.
Famous Giants, that's what we're gonna do. Famous Giants, can you name a few? Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
Oh, Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
Famous Giants is the name of the game. I'm going to be giving you a question, and you are just going to tell me what giant I am referencing. It could be a real giant, could be a Hollywood giant, could be a folklore giant, but it's a famous giant you have certainly heard of, and you are going to be playing against each other. Let's get our contestants on the line, and let's start with Eric in Long Beach. He is on line four, please, Chip. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
You listen to the show, you play along with the games when you hear them. How do you usually do? What kind of a contestant do you think you'll be?
It just depends on the game, I guess. Hopefully, okay. I'll do well on this one.
All right, Famous Giants. All right, let's meet your competitor this time around. It is going to be Drew, I think, from the LBC Line 2. Hey, Drew.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great, sir. How you feel about Famous Giants? You feel good about it?
I'm not going to lie, it's probably a very weak topic for me.
Oh, okay. sounds like Drew is not a giant head.
All right, so here's the way we're going to play it. We're just going to go back and forth. Each of you will get a question, and then the other guy, and then the other guy, and then the other guy. If you get it right, you get a point. We're going to play the first to five. First person to get 5 points, 5 questions correct, will win the tickets. And obviously, we'll make sure if it's a, you know, if it's a 5-4 game, we'll make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to try to get to five. We don't want you to lose just based on who goes first. So why don't we get started? Eric, we said hello to you first, so why don't we give you question number one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
There is a 55-foot statue of this giant in Blue Earth, Minnesota, to celebrate the long-running advertising character who shows up in TV commercials and on cans and bags of delicious peas. Who is he?
Jolly the Green Giant?
Close enough. The Jolly Green Giant is correct, yes.
Ho, ho, ho.
There we go. All right, so he is on the board with 1 point. We go back to Drew. Drew, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
This prehistoric giant sea monster was awakened by a nuclear bomb detonation and has started over 30 movies where he seems to enjoy destroying Tokyo over and over again. Who is he?
Godzilla.
Yes, Godzilla. Correct. Tie game.
See, Drew, you know your giants.
Famous giants.
Famous giants.
Eric, this giant is a lumberjack, according to American logger folklore, and is usually seen with his animal companion, Babe the Blue Ox. Who is he?
Oh,
Man, I'm drawing a blank.
You do not have Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan. Oh,
that's what we're looking for.
He doesn't know his lager folklore.
He doesn't know his establishing shots in the film Fargo.
Oh.
Exactly. All right. So that's a good break for you, Drew. You ready to go ahead here?
Yeah, let's do it.
This terrifying giant from the Bible was seemingly unbeatable until he came across a clever man named David with a slingshot who promptly showed him what's up. Name that giant.
Goliath.
Yes, Goliath is correct. All right, we got ourselves a game, you guys.
Yep.
Eric, you ready?
I'm ready.
This giant ape, or missing link human, or hybrid of both, has been searched for in the Pacific Northwest for decades, but usually only a large footprint or a blurry photograph of him in the woods is the closest we seem to get. Who is he?
Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot it is. All right, back to Drew. Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, and Gaylord Perry are all former superstar athletes for what professional sports team?
Oh, well.
Famous Giants.
Say one more time.
Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Gaylord Perry.
The San Francisco Giants. San Francisco Giants.
I was going to say, honestly, Drew, if you didn't get that, we were going to hang up on you.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You did it. You're fine. You're fine.
Allie, what's the score here?
Drew has 3. Eric has 2.
All right. And we're going back to Eric. The star of this children's book from the 1960s proved so popular there are now over 80 books in the series, plus a hit kids television show. The giant in this case is a big red dog. What is his name?
Clifford.
Yes.
Nice.
He knows his Clifford, the big red dog. All right, back to Drew.
Yeah.
I'm a Marmaduke head.
Are you?
So yeah.
This real life giant was called the 8th wonder of the world. He became a superstar wrestler, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in the first class. He also had a successful TV and film career, with his best known role being his appearance in The Princess Bride.
Andre the Giant.
People know they're giants, you guys.
Yeah. Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
All right, we're racing toward 5. What's the score?
Drew has 4. Eric has 3.
All right, I think it's Eric's turn. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
All right. Eric, an ancient race of giants characterized by a single eye in the middle of their head were prominent in both Greek and Roman mythology. What are these one-eyed giants known as?
Oh, geez. Cyclops.
Yes.
Wow.
You sounded pretty disappointed for a guy who knew the answer.
You know,
by
if
the
I
way,
got Paul Bunyan, I'd be right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Eric.
I mean, technically, I mean, I don't mean to step on Allie's scoring because she does have a big homeland set up over here, just string to string. If he gets this right, it's over.
Yeah, Drew could win it all here. Yeah. No pressure.
All right, Drew.
Mr. I don't know giants.
Before he wrote and directed The Incredibles and Ratatouille, Brad Bird made a movie about a robot from outer space who came to Earth and befriended a young boy who tried to protect him from the government that wanted to destroy him. Who was he? A robot from outer space.
The Iron Giant?
Yes!
Oh, we have a winner!
Iron Giant, ladies and gentlemen.
Unreal.
Here's a bonus question. Who was the voice of the Iron Giant? Eric, do you know that?
Vin Diesel?
Jesus. It was Vin Diesel.
This man is a giant expert. How tall are you?
It really is. Congratulations. You're going to see Young the Giant and all the rest. Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Cutie, Bastille, Greta Van Fleet, and everybody else. Both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 this weekend at the Forum. Drew, thank you for playing. You were a great contestant. This has been Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
Oh, Famous Giants.
Famous Giants.
Title song from Kevin Aveen Christmas album back in the day called Christmas Time in the 909. The band was called Greenbrier Lane. That was Dave's idea to play that again since Beer Mug is out in Ontario today. That sounded good.
Really good. Holds up.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Hey, speaking of mugs, he is out there with the Kevin Aveen Janky Van at the Del Taco in Ontario, 1909 East 4th Street, Ontario, for about another hour or so. Mugs, how is it going helping us get toys together today for the Spark of Love?
Well, let me tell you, the people in the Valley of the Dirt really come out and show out because our box of toys is full.
What?
Yeah.
Even in the rain.
Yeah. Even in the rain, a little water falling from the sky has not stopped anybody right here in the 909.
That is amazing. Now, Muggs, I want you to be honest. What's the toy that somebody brought by that you seriously wanted to steal for yourself?
The Star Wars lightsaber, always a classic.
Oh, nice.
Did anyone bring by, like, a bad one, like a toothbrush?
No, you know what? People actually have been bringing by really quality gifts. Nothing too janky.
Good.
Ah, that is fantastic. Thank you, Ontario. We appreciate that. Muggs is going to be at that Del Taco location again, like I said, for about another hour. And at the top of the hour at 9 a.m., you'll do another drawing for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. What do you guys think? Would this be a good time to reveal the news that we have been told about Acoustic Christmas?
I was stunned.
It's huge.
I don't know why we didn't lead with this, trying to sell tickets.
Right.
Muggs, how's the show going to open at the Forum this weekend?
Well, it's just been handed down from the agency that represents the one and only Muggos, but Muggos will be opening both nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Amazing.
This is Beer Mug's mumble rap song, by the way.
Yeah.
You're going to be performing on stage. Now, who's your hype man going to be?
Well, I think it's DJ Jeremiah Red. You know, he opens both nights, so I'm going to hop up there with him, and he's going to, you know, burn the track, and we're going to just light the place on fire after Muggos comes on.
Oh my God.
But who's going to yell, Angela?
Oh, that's good. It's got to be Muggos.
No, he's going to be doing his raps and his ad-libs.
You're doing both?
And ad-libs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me play a little bit of this. And
yeah,
let's
play,
see
please.
If this is even possible.
What's up, man? It's Beer Mug.
Beer Mug!
A.K.A. Muggos.
Muggo!
This is my new song called Mumble Rap.
Ha!
I'm about to get it.
Brah!
I got a pile of Coke.
Sniff it.
You got a bottle of Coke.
Drink it.
Rap skills are not a joke.
Laughing.
Got allergies up in my nose.
Sneezing.
Jensen, you've been around the rap game for 25 years.
Yeah.
Can he do both?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
It's that 2 Chainz can't do it. Migos can't do it. No one can do it.
You need someone.
But I'm telling you, if he does it at, you know, at the event, he's in for a real standing ovation.
Oh, absolutely! It's gonna be a huge event. But Muggs, you gotta work with your team and find somebody to help you out. Do you need a hype man?
We'll figure something out. But you guys know me, I'm professional. I'll make it work.
But okay, all right.
Do we know he'll get there on time?
Exhale all of my smoke.
Breathing,
rolling around on the floor.
Dying.
Call it murder. She wrote.
Angela.
I'm gonna recommend a young lady that I know named Allie McKay to be your hype man up on that stage.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I would love to have Allie McKay up there.
Yeah.
That's done. Good deal. I have a deal with
Interscope, and I'm not allowed to talk to unsigned artists.
All right, if you want to meet Muggos or Beer Mug and get your picture taken with the Kevin B. Jakey band, head on down to Del Taco in Ontario, 1909 East 4th Street, Ontario. Congratulations again. I don't know why I'm congratulating you, Muggs. All you did was stand there. Thank you again for the great listeners in the 909 who came by and filled up that bin. But we do still have more room in the Jakey van for toys. So please stop by and help spark a love. We'll talk to you later, Muggs. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That's huge, Kevin. Yeah. Having Muggos on the bill, right?
That's not going to go to his head at all.
All right. We just got a couple minutes to get this going. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but some people really enjoy their Christmas parties. They get, as the expression goes, in their cups, perhaps.
Yeah. They get lit AF.
Uh-huh. Yes, they
do. As you know, I'm the youth commissioner. So.
Well, in your cups was ancient, yeah. So thank you for stepping up.
I'm keeping it alive. Here's the article from a company called MorePay, which I think has to do with the employment in the UK. While most Christmas parties remain incident-free, HR disasters strike in at least 1 in 10 cases.
Ooh.
1 in 10 Christmas parties, HR has to get involved. With 12% requiring some form of disciplinary action. This is according to new research conducted by payroll and HO provider MorePay. So sometimes it's just embarrassing, but sometimes it can be worse than that. Wardrobe malfunctions, for instance.
No.
If somebody contributes to your wardrobe malfunction, you've got a problem. Somebody gets hurt. You know, they say break a leg. You don't want to break a leg at the party. But when dinner tables become the extension of the dance floor, accidents can happen, sometimes resulting in broken arms or legs. The combination of free drinks and a laid-back mood at the Christmas party can potentially lead to temporary office romance.
Never a good idea.
No.
Never a good idea, right?
Mm-mm.
But you know what? You're working side by side or down the hall from somebody you kind of had your eye on them all year long. You got a couple of drinks in you. It starts to look like a pretty good idea. You start thinking about, hey, how's next year going to be better for me? Wouldn't it be great if I woke up with him or her?
Jesus, this seems see how very specific.
Right. Especially the him or her.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I can see how something like that happens. Fist fights often happen. Not everybody gets along at work. And sometimes, again, you add alcohol and a problem becomes. So what are we looking for this time around from the callers, you guys?
We want to hear your holiday party disasters. Like, what has happened at your corporate gig that just sort of was out of control?
Yeah.
And we want to hear the craziest, most dirty story from your holiday party.
You went to the holiday party thinking it was just going to be coworkers having a nice toast to the year that is just behind us, and it turned into something else. So if there's a broken bones, or if there's hooking up in the
conference
room.
No, you already said broken bones.
Xerox butt.
Xerox butt. Wardrobe malfunctions, or people shared too much information about other employees or about their jobs.
Yeah, won't believe what that guy makes.
Exactly.
Way more than you.
That's exactly what we're looking for. Christmas party disasters. 1-800-520-1067. What have you heard or seen happen at your holiday party? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Getting ahead of the curve this year. Most folks haven't had their holiday parties yet, but we're giving you some ideas of what to avoid. From the 951, a guy who had only been working at the company for a month came to the Christmas party, got hammered, and ended up peeing on himself right in the middle of the crowd.
Jensen.
Listen, I got a promotion, so I wasn't complaining.
Let's go to Rachel, line one, Los Angeles, up first here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're taking your calls on this of your Christmas party disasters, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Good morning.
What happened?
Well, a disaster, because it ruined it for everybody for all the years to come. So I worked for a large alcohol beverage company in Los Angeles, very prominent name, had a hotel party. They went all out casino themed. Two of the employees got into a fist fight, which grew into a huge all out brawl. People were arrested. The employees got fired and no more holiday parties after.
Oh,
the Four Loko party sounds awesome.
Look, it's one thing for people to fight. It's another thing for people to get arrested and other people to get fired. This party has everything.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people vomiting everywhere. Cabs were not available, so people couldn't even leave.
Oh, man.
It was awful.
Why did we start with the best of all possible parties? Rachel, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. 1-800-520-1067. Your Christmas party disasters. We'll talk to you next here on K-Rock. From the 310, my boyfriend's company party is notoriously rowdy. We've been 5 years in a row, and 5 years in a row, we've had to be escorted back to our apartment by our Uber drivers. What can that possibly be about, by the way?
That's a nice Uber driver.
Last year, my boyfriend's assistant came up to him and spit in his face, saying that he makes him work too hard.
Well, who are these people?
Alcohol does bring it out to people when it comes to holiday parties. Let's go to back to the phones, 1-800-520-1067. How about Arlita's Mario up first here, line three on the Kevin Amicho. Mario, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened, my friend?
Okay, so this is quick. First Christmas party at this new company I'm working at. We get to rent this hotel room out. We stay on the same floor, discount, whatnot. And so my wife and I, we just had a baby, so we took advantage. Hey, we got a babysitter. Let's go to sleep early, get some rest. At 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a knock, heavy knock on the door. So guy's like, let me in. My wife is in your room. So I open the door. He bones rushes me. I know we start wrestling, get into the hallway. The door starts opening up. Everybody starts coming to see what the commotion is about. His wife and another coworker of ours comes out of the same bedroom.
Oh.
So his wife and our coworker were in the next room next to my wife and ours.
Oh,
now we're talking.
Wow.
Now we're talking.
I mean, do you know how that ended from that point on? Are they still together?
That I do not know. All I know is that I was very upset the following Monday.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Were you at any point thinking, wait, what did my wife do?
Yeah, because the thing was like, okay, let's take advantage. You know, we haven't been out since the baby was born. So let's go relax and take advantage, go to sleep early without having to wake up in the middle of the night.
Sure.
And then there's a knock at 2 o'clock
in the
morning
in
our hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a relaxing evening.
I love that he's complaining about the sleeping, but his coworker lost his marriage.
But he also bum rushed him. Yeah, that's not true. Fair. Yeah,
that's uncool. That's not what you want when you open the door at 2 a.m.
It sucked, man.
Thank you, Mario. We appreciate you listening. Hey, let's go to Alex on line one. He's in Rancho, and let's find out if his story is the same story that Mario was just telling. Alex, welcome to the program. You had something similar, it sounds like.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
We had a holiday party, company holiday party, and, you know, quite a few drinks into the night. And I ended up hooking up with a young lady from my accounting department.
Mm-hmm.
Took her back to my hotel room. You know, needless to say, we did the nasty.
Okay, you didn't really need to add that part. We'll all assume that.
We figured that out.
Get to the part where somebody opens your door and bum rushes you at 2 a.m.
And what we didn't realize is we were on the very first floor, you know, and we had the blinds wide open.
Oh.
And everybody that was outside in the parking lot drinking and smoking were able to have a nice show.
So
there
wait,
is.
And, do you, Alex, do you still work with her?
Unfortunately, no. She was a little embarrassed and moved down to San Diego.
Right after?
Wow. Changed her name.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Wow.
However,
you were terrible, dude.
Yeah, she's like, I got to get away from this penis.
Seriously. I can never see anything that horrible again.
So
all right, Alex.
The funniest part about it is we had no clue. Come Monday, when we came back to work, we walked in and everybody started applauding us. And
that's funny.
That's when we found out.
Because you didn't know when the curtains were, but that's hilarious. Thank you for the call. Happy holidays to you, my friend. All right, this is getting good now, you guys. Let's go out to Phoenix, Arizona. You know, the good Phoenix. Jonathan is on line two. He's up next. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What happened?
So, my story is kind of odd, but there was no alcohol involved, which is particularly surprising. I worked for an agency that helped autistic children, and they gave out this very prominent award where you actually won $500 if you were Employee of the Year. You know, we all knew who was going to win it, and she didn't win it. Like, the other favorite one won it. And when she didn't win it, she went straight at the supervisor, just balls to the wall, hitting her in the face as fast as she could.
And they worked with autistic children.
Oh, God.
Everybody was cheering. Like, nobody was, like, trying to stop her. They were just letting her go.
I love that she thought the way that she could get people to reconsider her as the Employee of the Year was to pound on the person who won it.
Good God.
No, she pounded on the supervisor.
That's amazing, though.
It's great.
That's fantastic, Jonathan. Thank you so much. Let's do one more. Let's close with some good old-fashioned destruction of personal property. Let's make it Will in Orange. He's up finally on line six. Hey, Will, thank you for calling. What happened?
How's it going? So I had a job that I started in Vegas, and so we got a hotel suite with a bowling alley.
Cool.
For our, you know, for our company Christmas party. Great
nice.
Deal on it. Mm-hmm. GM had his credit card. One of the guys that, you know, I'll say throws bags for a living, thought he could throw the bowling ball straight at the pins, missed the pins, right into the TV. Big screen, 55-inch.
Oh,
boom. And this is when they costed a lot of money.
It's a strike. Did he have to pay for it, by the way? Did the guy who smashed the TV end up having to pay for it, or did the boss give him a pass?
No. The boss, it went on the company credit card, and the boss got in trouble. Also, we weren't invited back to that hotel anymore.
Okay.
But no, he didn't get fired at all. He's done quite a lot, and he never got fired. Actually, I think he has something on the boss.
Yeah, sounds like it. Some sort of Russian collusion or something. All right, gotcha, man.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the weenie roast. And we're like, it's a goddamn weenie roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, oh, I guess bands really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, which we just thought, okay, you do the same old thing every time.
Was Blink-182 still there in the room when the question ended?
No, they had left at least an hour prior.
That truly is like K-Rock's Frost Nixon.
Yeah. It's journalism right there. Yeah. Thank you for noticing.
Good reference, too.
Thank you.
Hey, it's 8:54 here on a Wednesday morning. Allie's got What's Happening.
You guys, have you ever thought, wow, I really want to get my hands on one of them their lightsabers used in the Star Wars films?
Nope.
I mean, I think that I'm not a movie memorabilia collector, but that I would imagine would be one of the most iconic props in movie history.
Well, an auction house, Profiles in History, is offering a lightsaber used by, you know, a little Luke Skywalker character in 1977's A New Hope. It could fetch upwards of $150,000.
Nerds.
But Mark Hamill found out about it, and he had a little warning to everybody. He said, be advised, there was no one lightsaber I used in the films, but many, many, both for myself and my stunt double. Multiple duplicate backup props are commonplace during production. When the handle ridges were cutting my hands, they even made a few with soft sponge ridges. Hashtag buyer beware.
Oh.
So he's letting you know, obviously, there isn't one of them. But also, if you get one, it might just, you know, tear your hands up as well. What the heck was going on that set?
I mean, that was the first thing I thought is there must have been a dozen, at least a dozen, because you can't risk having a prop fall apart, break or something like that and not have something to go to.
Absolutely.
So that's very smart that he is. But it'll still sell for a bunch of money, though.
Oh, for sure. But what a time, 1977, that they're not like, oh, we should really fix these handle ridges. It might cut up our star's hand.
Yeah.
Let them use it. We'll see.
What do people do with this stuff? They just show it off in the house?
Yeah, probably have
I think so.
A little area with it under glass and then lights and then people singing around it.
I think it's stupid, and I have 800 Blu-rays. So
and how many pairs of sneakers?
Like 150.
All right.
And I still think this is dumb.
You wouldn't get a little box, a little glass box to put it on display in your living room?
No. And I have very specific movie likes that are very odd and strange. Like The Burbs is my favorite movie, the Tom Hanks comedy.
Right,
very
and there's forgettable nothing from there that you would want?
No. I mean, like, you know, there's things in the movie that are memorable, but I don't need them, no.
Right.
No.
Okay.
What about you, Bean? Any specific prop from a movie?
No.
Or wardrobe, anything?
I got nothing.
Would you want like a Taylor Swift microphone, like a very famous one from an MTV performance or something?
No. Not
really.
See,
I don't have that need either.
Yeah, not really.
Right. Allie, would you want anything?
I mean, probably just from the hit My Girl, I would want Macaulay Culkin's glasses, because he can't see without his glasses.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Rest in peace.
Such a good movie, you guys. I'm just saying. Hey, yesterday when we talked about all the people losing their S on both Sunday and into Monday because they were like, what? What do you mean I'm not going to see Friends after January 1st? And then Netflix was like, hey, calm down. We're still going to be airing Friends for a whole nother year after that. Well, according to the New York Times, they published a report stating that Netflix was paying $100 million to keep the show on their platform.
I do not understand
too much.
$1 million.
Too much.
Yeah, we've discussed not only is it on 800 times a day, just, you know, look around on your television, but you can also buy all the DVDs, Blu-ray, all of that.
And no one's just like, oh, I'm going to pick up Friends now. Like, no one's watching. It's a comfort watch. It's the mashed potatoes of Netflix. But I also just think you watch it to fall asleep or whatever it is. It doesn't seem like it's worth $100 million.
Yeah, it seems nuts.
There's not enough no.
Yeah,
why is everyone so obsessed with Friends? I don't get it. Come on. Every single cover of People magazine and Us Weekly, stop it!
All right, I'm done.
I wasn't prepared for that.
I mean, come on now.
I mean, that's a lot right there. Kevin lost his mind one day. Like, he had absolutely had it. He couldn't understand. And this was like a year ago. He couldn't understand why people were still talking about Friends. And I think part that's of why it, he's not here today?
I think so. I think he's taking the news hard.
Yeah.
I think part of it is the tabloid media's obsession
with Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Who, by the way, is a very nice person. You know, I co-starred with her in Kevin and Bean's Rockstar.
Yeah, you did.
And she was fine. She was good on Friends.
Okay.
But that show's been off the air for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And she's still on the cover of multiple magazines multiple times a month.
Yeah, because she's lonely as hell.
Apparently so.
Ugh, I hate it.
The narrative.
I hate it so much.
I think that's part of why he can't get over the whole Friends thing. Is because what is this? Why are we so obsessed? Why are some people so obsessed with her and with that show?
I don't know. But $100 million to keep it on the platform. And the same article, they said Netflix previously paid $30 million to keep it on the service. So quite the bump. I believe that's $70 million.
Look at Allie doing math in her head,
thank you,
everybody.
Guys. Thank
she
you.
Used her fingers. I don't know if you
I did.
That's
I did
impressive,
a little.
Though. Well, now I feel guilty not watching Friends on Netflix. Well, after paying that much.
Let them get their payment in.
Oh, goodness. All right, some birthdays for you. Little Richard, Nick Stahl, Paula Patton, and Margaret Cho.
One of the things I enjoy most about having new people on the show, like our friend Jensen Karp. Mm-hmm. Recent addition to the Kevin and Bean program. It's the same reason I enjoy new listeners tuning in, is because we can introduce you to things that we've been enjoying for years that maybe you have not caught up with yet. Allie, what if I were to play this for you? Would this make you happy?
This Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Not funny. Not
it's
funny.
It's peak the rodeo clown, you all guys. Right. How long has it been? High quality.
Yeah.
When I was just a teenager, mm-hmm. a car crash made me one. A bull named Car Crash at the rodeo.
Plot twist.
Really?
Plot twist.
M. Night right there.
Peak, you guys.
Jesus.
It's not an upper.
No.
It's not the feel-good holiday. It's not Mariah Carey.
No.
But, I'm playing on my harp. I'm working on my cowboy swing with 40 left to go. With 40 left to blow.
Oh, what is this? The memory that I have is back in the day that we were doing the Kevin and Bean Christmas albums. Mm-hmm.
Blue water all around. Partner, you can guess it's lots of fun, like being on two legs.
Oh, he disses himself.
I'm playing paraplegic style harmonica in hand.
We used to invite people to send in songs. Hey, if you'd like to be part of the Christmas album, yeah. Send in a song, and maybe we'll put some of them on the album.
Yeah.
And this showed up with no return address.
It's beautiful.
And we never found out about Peak.
Haven't paraplegics always played a little harmonica at Christmas?
I mean, it sounds to me like it's autobiographical, so I assume somewhere out there there's a paraplegic who plays the harmonica. We don't know if that's true or if that was just the songwriter's, you know, fancy that he came up with it. But it's a holiday classic as far as I'm concerned.
Not a holiday
classic. It is a holiday classic. We got an email request for that yesterday saying, come on, it's already the second week of December. Where the hell's Peak the Rodeo Clown?
It's unfair that the Grammys just pass on these great jams every year.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, one final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Did anyone ever feel the need to look up if there was a Rodeo Bowl named Car Crash?
I mean, I think we did. I think we did Google everything we could think of to try mm-hmm. to find the guy, because we wanted to talk to him, obviously, on the show.
Yeah.
And just came up empty. It might be worth visiting again, though.
We should do like a Serial-esque podcast to try to find him.
Yes.
Really dig deep.
I mean, it's been like 25 years.
You don't think the paraplegic rodeo clown's still doing well? Almost three decades later?
I hope he is. Yeah. Obviously, I hope he is. I wish he would have had some success from that song. Might have improved his condition, but...
It's not as good
to get him out of the wheelchair. I'm not saying that the money would have helped him get out of the wheelchair, but it might have made his life a little easier.
Not as good as having two working legs?
No, it's not.
should I do what's happening, Bean?
Yeah. Okay. I did intro you. I said,
oh, you did? Okay.
Now here's Allie with what's happening.
I apologize. You know how we love the Forbes list.
Sure.
They have unveiled the world's highest paid musicians of 2018.
Okay.
What do you guys think? I have the top 10 here.
I mean, some obvious names spring up. Obviously, your Beyonce and your Jay-Z because of that huge stadium tour.
I will tell you this. Beyonce's tour kicked off right after the time period for the data collection, as did Taylor Swift's.
Well,
put
my boy Drake up.
So here's the thing, though. Taylor Swift is on the list, but that's just from other money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not from her stadium tour.
Mm-mm.
All right. Musicians. Okay. Paul McCartney is a perennial moneymaker.
You would think. Not even top 15.
Are you
wow.
serious?
Yeah.
Because he not only is touring, but he gets those Beatles and Wings residuals.
No, the Wings residuals are just sort of it's junk food money.
That's still a lot of songs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will put up Bruno Mars.
You would put up Bruno Mars, and he would be fourth with $100 million.
Big tour year.
Big tour.
Drake, did we say where Drake is?
Drake is not top 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, remember, some of these people like Drake, unless they're doing huge tours, they're not making that much money
He did a big tour. Maybe it doesn't count on
They're not making that much money from streaming like they used to. You know, you used to sell a million records and you'd be, making money.
Bruce had a big year on Broadway.
Not top 15.
What is going on?
I mean, that's less than 1,000 seats a night, though.
Mm. He's just going to tell you why all your answers are wrong.
Without getting an answer himself.
I have, I'm just thinking of big stadium tours now. How about Guns N' Roses?
How about Guns N' Roses at number 8 with $71
million? Because that's a monster tour. Mm-hmm. Monster. Guns N' Roses, okay.
Foo Fighters were on the road. Right?
They were.
I'm just trying to think if they're on
the tour. Doesn't sound like they're on the list, though.
Think of a very big tour that would be that would have ended, and all that money would have been a lot for this band.
What is going on?
You
well
heard me.
Said.
All of this
no,
money would
I
have
didn't.
Been a lot.
Here, Bean, let me help you. I saw this tour in England with your wife.
Oh, you two.
You two. You two came in at number one,
number
you guys.
One.
Even after forcing that album onto our iPhones.
Oh, you'll be all right.
This is guys out there in their 60s making more money than anyone.
I can't believe you're not getting number two or three. That's just insane to me.
Big tour?
Big tour, big K-Rock band.
Oh, K-Rock band.
At the second spot.
And not Foo Fighters.
Mm-mm.
Is it...
You're in their documentary.
Oh, Coldplay.
Coldplay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Coldplay, coming in at number two.
Okay.
These are bands make me tired. Both you two and Coldplay make
me
tired.
How about Los Metallica?
Los Metallica, not in the top 15.
All right. I just...
All right.
Never not on the road.
Okay. All right.
They sell 100,000 tickets every time they step outside their door.
Let's do the top five.
Do the top five.
Number one, U2.
Yeah.
Number two, Coldplay.
Sure.
Number three, Ed Sheeran. What's wrong with you guys?
He tours. I've heard this story. He makes so much money on tour because he barely takes anything on the road.
It's just him and a guitar.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. Number four, we got Bruno Mars. Number five, you go, girl. Huh? Bean?
Oh, it's Katy Perry.
Why is Bean not getting it?
Yeah.
He's the one that said it.
Yeah.
Good God, Bean.
Katy Perry toured that record forever.
$83 million.
It was a huge tour, yeah.
Not bad, you guys. All right, well, that was a lot less fun than I thought
I'm
it would be.
I'm sorry, we are terrible guessers.
I mean, okay.
Why do some people tune out?
Great question.
And where the hell was my Katy Perry drop, by the way, Chip? That's on you.
I have a drop.
Hit it.
All right, go ahead and hit it, Chip. Baby, you're a fan.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
Just to be clear, when I said you go, girl, he didn't even say Katy Perry. Then he demands the drop.
Yep.
Wow, Bean.
Prima donna.
I'm a taskmaster, you
right?
guys.
It is insane. You guys ready for a Cruella de Vil live action take on the 101 Dalmatians?
Nope, still no.
No?
What is it? It's just the same movie with CGI.
Wait, I thought we already did that. Didn't Meryl Streep already play Cruella DeVille in a live-action movie?
With real dogs.
And Glenn Close did it. And
Maybe that's okay.
Yeah. Glenn Close. How about, though, if it's the origin story?
Of how we got the Dalmatians?
How we got Cruella DeVille. No, she became such a villainess.
Stupid. New stories, guys.
What if I told you Emma Stone would be playing her?
No.
What if I told you... With a punk vibe.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm in. I thought so.
So this is kind of like what Wicked did for the witches from Wizard of Oz, is the origin story of how they turned into the people that they became.
Okay. Except punk rock.
But here's the thing that confuses me. It's being billed as an origin story set in the early 1980s. It was from the 60s, though, right? Mm-hmm. 101 Dalmatians. So,
well, if it's modern day... then Cruella's origin story would be the 80s. It's all canon.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. I keep track of 101 Dalmatians canon.
Okay. So. I'm just glad you did the math on that so I didn't have to. Yeah. All right. And lastly, let's just end it on this. You know how I get really annoyed with these millennials have killed... insert whatever.
Yeah, guacamole. Yeah.
They've killed everything, according to businesses that aren't staying afloat.
Usually just a lazy hook somebody put in an article.
Absolutely. So when I read this, I was like, come on. Millennials have killed canned tuna. The Wall Street Journal reports that, not a dang bean, although consumers in general have been eating less canned tuna for the last 3 decades... we're now going to blame it on millennials because they're just not buying canned fish or a lot of shellfish. What's happening, you guys?
The salute to tuna.
All right. Is that why you weren't saying anything? You were scrolling your tuna drops?
Think you
want
to
go eat some tuna?
I hate it.
How did you even have that one?
I hate it so much.
When did that get used?
What's the best tuna?
I knew that's what he was doing. That's why he was quiet.
How does he have so many?
21, unfortunately.
Okay, I don't think that we
that's,
need that.
It's not okay.
I'm surprised that this article didn't do what so many others have said. Mm-hmm. Like, remember when we heard that millennials weren't eating cereal because it was too much work to pour the milk into the bowl?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they said because they don't own a can opener, so they can't eat anything in a can.
Bean, how funny you should say that. I brought that up yesterday. I was
really?
That's why they can't cut avocados because they don't know how to use knives.
Yeah.
I bet they don't have can openers.
Tuna
hand. Millennial.
Tuna hand.
You don't
no
eat tuna hand.
Tuna hand.
I hate today.
Tuna hand.
Yes. Oh, here it is. Harry. You go, girl.
All right. Happy birthday, Margaret Cho, Little Richard, Nick Stahl, and Paula Patton. Good Lord, that's what's happening.
Hey, on your drive home today, so let me tell you about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, because don't judge today, okay?
Just
tomorrow is the show, you guys.
You a tuna head?
Oh, yeah.
First,
tuna
Thursday,
head.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Jupinski, of course. RJ Bell joins us to preview week 14 of the NFL. Our old friend Jonah Ray making a return appearance to the Kevin and Bean Show, the very talented comedian and podcaster and host of the Mystery Science Theater 3000. Jonah's going to be on with us tomorrow. Jensen, any hints about what we're going to be getting up with tomorrow?
Rock music. I got a rock band.
Very excited about that. Beer Mug is going to be on location once again as part of the Spark of Love Toy Drive. We thank you again for everybody who has been finding the Kevin Bean Janky van this week and contributing toys to the toy drive. Tomorrow he is going to be in Pasadena at the Del Taco location at 765 North Lake Avenue. If you want to plan ahead, pick up a toy today maybe and go on by and drop it off for him tomorrow. He'll also be giving away tickets to both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, as will we right here on the radio.